Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Joe Murray, creator of Rocco's Modern Life in Camp Lazlo. You're listening to Mr. Media.
And today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to author Nat Gertler, who's assembled an amazing array of Charlie Brown comic strip memorabilia in a new book, The Peanuts Collection. Stick around, and don't trust that darn Lucy if she's holding a football, kid.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
So much media. So little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 600 archived celebrity interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by ThePartyAuthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania area? For any and all occasions, call The Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of under-inspired cartoonists who wish they could think of a character as brilliant as Snoopy, right here in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Well, when you're done reading your favorite comic strip today, wouldn't it be cool to have some lasting ephemera to put on your desk, in your school locker, in the kitchen, or on your nightstand? You know, something that will remind you of the laughs you shared with a beloved cartoon character. Me, today I'd like a plush satchel stuffed dog from Gets Fuzzy, or a replacement of my long-lost Opus doll from Loop County, or anything from Calvin and Hobbes or Pearls Before Swine. But when I was a kid, long into my teen years and even in college, it was anything Snoopy. I had a poster in my room of Snoopy lying prone on his doghouse, staring at his empty food dish, waiting for the round-headed kid to fill her up. I also had stacks of the paperback collections of Daily Peanut strips and a treasured hardbound volume as well that I couldn't wait to later pass on to my daughter when she was barely old enough to study the pictures and pretend to begin reading. Now, there's a reason, years after cartoonist Charles Schulz's death, that Peanuts remains a popular feature in hundreds, maybe thousands of newspapers around the world. It's funny, it's sweet, and at times, it's brilliant. This is the third show I've done dedicated largely to Schulz. The first was an interview with his controversial biographer, David McAllis. The second was with Schulz's son, Monty, a novelist and author of This Side of Jordan. And today, I'm pleased to welcome Nat Gertler, who worked with the Schulz family and the Charles M. Schulz Museum and Research Center to write and compile a fabulous Charlie Brown coffee table keepsake, The Peanuts Collection, Treasures from the World's Most Beloved Comic Strip. It's a fabulous assemblage. Did I say fabulous twice? Yes, I think I did. A fabulous assemblage of images and actual reprints of all kinds of cool stuff from 60 years of the world's favorite newspaper strip. Sorry, Tintin. Now, besides being the man behind a website that features a collector's guide to Peanuts book titled AAUGH.com, that's A-A-U-G-H, you know, like Charlie Brown says, Gertler is also the co-author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Graphic Novel. Nat Gertler, welcome to Mr. Media.
I'm glad to be here.
We're glad to have you because I hate talking to myself. Hey, this is a very, very cool book, but I'm afraid I just didn't do it justice in explaining what makes it unusual, and I wondered if maybe you'd care to give it a try.
Well, I could give you the official spiel that it has interactive items, but that does sound to me like it's full of buttons and explodes and stuff. It is a book of really short essays about Peanuts, about the characters, about how it got to the movies, about the TV, about all the ways it interacts with the real world. But it's heavily illustrated, and it has a lot of items you can actually take out and remove, reproductions of classic pieces. There's Charles Schulz sketches. There's Peanuts trading cards that you used to have to buy Dolly Madison snack cakes to get. There is a Peanuts booklet that was the only comic strip reprint I know of that was published by the U.S. government. and you can flip through a reproduction of that booklet. It's bound into the book. So it has all these different interesting items. You get pieces of Schultz correspondence that you can pull out of the envelopes that are in the book, all kinds of things like that. So it's a fun item to, or hopefully people will find it a fun item to delve into and just look at a piece and see what's there.
But no reproduction of the PMS Viewmaster, which I admit that I had at one time, and or the color form set. Come on.
Well, we don't have reproductions of those, removable reproductions. We do have a picture of the Disco Snoopy color form set, and we do have a shot of one of the Viewmaster reels, but we did not actually reproduce a Viewmaster reel. It'd be kind of hard to experience that properly without also including a Viewmaster.
I understand. There's even a kind of a reproduction of a small cell. Is this Thanksgiving? Let me see. Which one?
Yeah, I believe indeed we ended up putting the Thanksgiving one in there. There was such a wealth of things to choose from. That was the delightful thing about going through the archives, is there is so much of it. There's so much that was done. So many strips, so many TV specials, so many products that, yes, we ended up putting a shot from the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. We got Snoopy there cooking some popcorn for a proper Thanksgiving feast while the rest of the gang are gathered around the table with their popcorn and toast.
I'm guessing you could probably do about a dozen of these books.
Oh, easily. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a huge museum. I don't want to say huge museum for a museum, but huge for a museum for a single person, with large amounts of archives of interesting stuff, and that's only a fraction of the things that are out there. The interesting things, you know, the tough part in this was, to a certain degree, selecting from all the wonderful things that we had. Lots of discussions between me and the graphics folks, saying, "Well, we need this and this. No, we need this and this." And so we crammed the book full. But even so, if people buy enough copies, there is room for a sequel.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that tickled me, I know 20. Oh my gosh, how long have I been married? I've been married 22 years ago. So 25 years ago, I remember going to my wife's parents' house. And it's the first time I saw her her bedroom from when she was a child, which was largely unchanged since she was maybe 16. I knew I picked the right woman because she had what I had in my bedroom growing up, which was a blue Snoopy garbage can, which I'm pretty confident went all the way to college with me, and then I lost track of at some point.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I remember some of those trash cans. We had those around the house, and in fact, my wife, when I married her, she remembered having that can, and she still had her Snoopy lunchbox, which now my daughter uses from time to time.
Yeah, so it's amazing how this is something that is cross generational. I mean,
it's cross generational, and it touches everybody, but it reaches people from different angles. Some of us discovered in the newspapers or in the book collections. My earliest memory of reading anything was a collection of Peanut strips. Some people discover it on TV. You know, Charlie Brown Christmas has been running every year for over 40 years now, and getting, you know, still gets you audiences. Still, we air it multiple times a year these days. So people discover it through animation. People discover it just simply as iconography, with, you know, all the shirts and items around. Some people don't necessarily know there's all these other things going on at first, but to them it's like a Hello Kitty or something, just a character that appears on products. Some people discover it. There's a bunch of Peanuts amusement parks or amusement park areas across the country, and in fact across the globe now. And people, some kids first see a Planet Snoopy or a Camp Snoopy, and from there go on. So there's all these different entrance points. The strip itself provides like a very strong tree trunk. It's this wonderful, rich environment. And then off of it are all these branches and all these leaves, all these different ways it's gone, and all these different ways for people to discover the tree.
I'm thinking of entry point. It just hit me. I guess I'm a little slow in that regard, that this book is a great entry point to convince people, parents and kids, that they need to go to the Charles M. Schultz Museum and see it you know.
So certainly going to the museum is a good thing. To a certain degree, I try to create a little bit of a museum in a book here. But with the Schultz Museum, you get to see all the originals up close and personal. They have Schultz's own studio. They basically moved everything from his studio into a recreation of the studio in the museum. There's all kinds of things to do. It's a great place to stop by. It's in Santa Rosa, California, about an hour north of San Francisco. So anybody who's in that general area should definitely, you know, at any time, should definitely make the journey.
I guess it's a real tribute to modern graphics people that they were able to reproduce. And folks, you have to see this to believe this. Some of the things that they reproduce in here, I mean, and you know, these are not originals, but some of them have been, a lot of them have been shrunk to fit. It's just amazing. Everything from this, something as simple, I guess, as this letter from Lucille Ball to Charles Schultz about being on the, I think, the Flip Wilson show, to envelopes and letters and posters and you know, things that you can actually take out and, you know, share and hand around, pretty amazing, because, you know, paper stocks change over the years, graphics design changes, but you know, you feel like you're holding an original.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a lot of the goal, which was to give people a very, very visceral experience, a very hands-on experience here. So in addition to what I hope is worthwhile text, I did spend a fair while writing it, the items and some of these items are things that were, you know, some of them were reproducing original art, you know, supposed to look like original art, but some of them were items that were imprinted in the first place but may have been hard to get. For example, we've got a scrapbook for your Falcon, which was a booklet you would have gotten if you had bought a Ford Falcon in the early 1960s.
That is so weird, because my first car and my third car were Ford Falcons. And this will make you laugh. I just had my 50th birthday, and my wife tried to buy me a 63 Ford Falcon for my birthday, and wound up instead, best she could do at that moment was she got a copy of the original owner's manual and a something else. I don't have it in front of me, or I could describe it better. But it's so funny that connection. One more connection I have back to Peanuts, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a strong connection. There's all sorts of ways that these things, Peanuts shows up again and again in our lives. Maybe I feel it a little stronger than most. My mom always called me Charlie Brown when I was growing up. And again, my mom called all of her kids Charlie Brown. That way she didn't have to remember which one she was speaking to. But yeah, no, the Falcon, it was really for the Falcon that they did the first animated Peanuts. It was, they did some advertisements with animating the Peanuts characters, and this was years before Charlie Brown Christmas.
Hmm.
So the Falcon is actually sort of important in Peanuts history, and it's the same, the same animator who was in charge of Charlie Brown Christmas had done those Peanut spots, and it's really where some of that style got developed.
Well, and that, in fairness, we're both writers. I don't mean to take away from the written material in here, but you have to acknowledge it's a very visceral book.
I don't mean to take away from it. And in fact, since I was involved in the finding and selection of the items, in fact, some of the items reproduced in here come from my own personal collection. You know, I am proud of the book as a whole. It's definitely a very visual piece, and should look good on a copy table, sprung open for people to flip through.
So how did the idea of collecting, I say that loosely because I know you had some material and then you had access to the museum and probably the estate, but
and the estate had lots of private collections too, but yeah.
Okay. How did the idea to reproduce this? Because it had to be, I mean, it's a beautiful book. It had to be very difficult, challenging task to reproduce.
Well, I will confess, in this case, I did not come up with the idea of doing this book. I was hired on. This is a package by a company that had put together books about Mickey Mouse, about Star Wars, about Marvel and DC Comics that also had a lot of interactive items. So that's what they're really good at. They bring that power and experience to the work. And then they reached out to me because they discovered I had a blog about peanuts, and they'd read into it, and apparently they liked it. And they said, "Hey, can you provide us a text to form a basis for this, and can you help us find the images, and we'll worry about all the reproduction and layout and things like that." So I was brought in on that regard. Now, they didn't know I'd actually written a couple dozen books before this. They just liked my blog.
Well, and I tell you what, I want to talk to you about your blog and your own devotion to peanuts in a minute, but we're going to take just a real quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you are listening to the Mr. Media interview with author Nat Gertler, whose new book is The Peanuts Collection, and we will be right back.
Now, before I say goodnight, my sponsor would like to bring you an important message.
Ever thought of hosting your own radio show? Now you can by registering at blogtalkradio.com. While you're there, check out our selection of premium packages. To start your own show today, visit blogtalkradio.com.
All right, and this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with author Nat Gertler, whose new book is The Peanuts Collection. Nat, how do you explain the public's undying love of peanuts?
Well, I think we all recognize ourselves in various aspects of the various characters. You know, Peanuts is a lot about frustration, and we all feel frustrated at times about something. Almost any Peanuts character can be defined in terms of the things they want and do not get. Charlie Brown wants to kick that football, wants to keep the kite in the air, wants to win the ball game. He doesn't get that. Lucy wants Schroeder, but unfortunately Schroeder wants to be left alone, and neither of them get what they want. You know, so we all feel those frustrations, no matter how successful we are, that there's something that we desire that we don't get, and we feel ourselves in the character. And add to that it's just basically funny. It's good, humorous stuff. So you have the very human element and the humor, so there's not a whole lot to miss there. It will reach just about everybody on some level.
And what about your own commitment to the brand? How far back does that go?
Well, the very first thing I can remember reading was a book called All This and Snoopy 2, which is a collection of strips. And I was just a regular reader of the books. I would buy the books at yard sales, particularly because I was a cheap and yard sale hunting kid, and read all the books I could through the years. It's just something I was interested in. I wouldn't say I was fascinated with it. And then at one point I decided to try to get all the different books I could, to get all the different strips to make sure I read as much as I could. Turned me into a collector. But also meant I had to make these lists to figure out because there were books that were just reprints of half of another book or books that overlap with part of another book. And so I started keeping those lists and putting them on the internet. And once I became a collector and somebody on the internet who was offering information, offering these guides, it just snowballed from there. More and more people started reading my guides. I started collecting more, so they're going, oh, this is the same book, only it has this cute little variation, and it's this little thing different here, and here's the same book, only it's in Swedish. Isn't that cool? And now I've got over 1,000 books. It sort of became insane. But I justify my insanity by running the blog at blog.aaugh.com. And that way I'm sharing my insanity with others, perhaps infecting others with it. That's a horrible thing to do. And also it turns my habit into a bit of a business. I provide links where people can order both my new book and other upcoming currently available books, and thus my insanity is tax deductible. Works out well for me.
I hear you, brother. You interviewed several Schultz family members and people around the estate and the museum. What did you learn that surprised you about Sparky?
Well, I'm always open on understanding Sparky better. And one of the things that talking to people always reminds me is, A, that he was human. There's an awful lot of people who try to see him as some sort of perfect figure or idealized figure. And these are people who, had to sit there and say, you left your toothbrush sitting out again, and there's toothpaste blobbing on the sink. These are people who had to deal with them as a human. So it's always good to remember. It's also good to remember that he wasn't just one thing. He changed over the years. He was a human being. I see an awful lot of people who say, well, I heard, you know, Schultz was a member of this church and was this and was that. And it's like, yes, he was. In 1963, in 1978, he was a slightly different person, you know, things like that. It's a reminder, all of our lives are journeys. And in dealing with him, he seems to have been a generally nice person, but not a perfect person. He seems to have been a generous person with his own quirks. And he's every person I talk to who says, you know, lets me know that his devotion to the strip was constant. It was always going on in his life, and all the great qualities of the strip are attributable to his dedication to it.
Do you have some favorite reproductions in the book?
In the book, well, I'm glad to see the one thing that I get asked for the most often as the guy who runs the blog is where can I get the Peanuts Book of Pumpkin Carols, which was a greeting card format booklet put out in it was available through the 70s from Hallmark that has songs about Halloween and you know tributes to the Great Pumpkin and things like that. And I'm glad to finally be able to answer, you know, well, you have to go on eBay and pay, hopefully find somebody who will sell you one for $25 or whatever. I can finally answer it. You go to get the book. We've got a reproduction of that in there. So that reproduction makes me happy and makes my life a little easier. but also glad to have the letter that convinced Charles Schultz to integrate the strip. He added the character Franklin in the 1960s, and now it doesn't seem like much of a thing to have a black character in a strip, obviously, but at that time, it was a controversial item. It got reader complaints. It got coverage in the major news magazines, so it was a very different time, and it was all triggered by this one letter from a lady who cared about such things, and I got to interview her as well, so I got to have some quotes from her in the book.
What kind of things were just too big and unwieldy or, you know, that just couldn't get into the book that you would have liked to have seen in there?
Some of the decisions that were made of what didn't go in weren't made by me, so I don't know whether it was too unwieldy or trouble to produce. We have one strip in there, an incomplete peanut strip, just about complete peanut strip that's ripped up. We've got the pictures of it. Of the ripped up portions of the strip, and I really wanted to be able to include the ripped up portions of strips, reproductions, so you could actually put the strip back together. This thing that Schultz worked all that time on, and then wasn't quite happy enough with that he destroyed it. So that is the thing that I would love to have in there, or I'd love to have a silver Snoopy certificate, which is a certificate that NASA awards to. Folks who work for NASA who do a particularly good job. It's really a high honor in NASA, which actually leads me to another thing. This is Silver Snoopy folks get a certificate and get a little pin. Silver Snoopy that was actually in space. They, with every space mission, they send a packet of these Silver Snoopy pins into space. So Snoopy is constantly going into space. as constantly as we're going into space, which unfortunately is not as often as it used to be. So I wanted to find out more about this. So I contact the NASA press relations office. Is there somebody I can talk to get more information about this? And I get the email back. Well, would you like to interview an astronaut? Now, you do interviews. Is there any other answer to that than heck yeah? Obviously. And so I interview Mike Massimino, who has been up a couple of times. And I just figured I'm just going to get information about the Silver Snoopy program because that's officially something that astronauts bestow upon the folks who work for NASA and their providers. And unexpectedly, he ended up telling me this story about this toy Snoopy he had growing up. It was actually an astronaut Snoopy in the 1960s. When he was a little boy, his brother gave him this astronaut Snoopy. And over the years, it fell apart. The helmet broke and other little things, but he still held on to it. He loved it, and he took it into space with him.
Oh, great story.
Yeah, as like, oh, that was a story I wasn't expecting. That's a wonderful thing to add to the book.
I have one for you, Nat. You'll appreciate this.
Okay.
Years ago, I worked with the founders of the Home Depot and wrote their book for them. It's called Built from Scratch. And on the board of the Home Depot at the time was Frank Borman, who most people know was the astronaut left behind in Apollo and circled the moon but never made it down there. But I thought, okay, I'll admit this now because the book came out, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. I need an excuse to meet Frank Borman. Oh, my God, he's an astronaut. It's Frank Borman, for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have an interview with Frank Borman. Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Who's going to pass up that opportunity? You have to be crazy.
Absolutely.
So do you have any – I'm just out of curiosity. Do you have any idea what the best-selling non-strip Peanuts item would be over the years?
Oh, I really don't know. There are some items that are interesting in how they reappear. If you go to yard sales, you'll often see the Snoopy snow cone maker, and you know things like that. But I really haven't researched what is the best selling item, and it may be hard to judge because it may be like a Snoopy pencil that keeps coming out that they sell in packets of 20 or something. There are definitely things that have a place in life, but I cannot. Claim to have researched this.
Now, I have to ask you this before we wrap up. You're also known as the co-author of the Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Graphic Novel. If graphic novels had caught on sooner, do you think Charles Schulz would have been convinced to put his Peanuts characters in one?
Well, it goes beyond that. Schulz was – when Schulz fell ill originally and the illness that led to his death, there was the hope that he'd be getting better. But even then, they figured he probably couldn't do a daily comic strip schedule. It's a very, you know, it's seven news strips, including one long Sunday strip a week. That's a lot of work. So Jeannie, his wife, was talking about that he might do original storybooks, original graphic novels at that point. Unfortunately, you know, he passed along. But if you look at some of the things he did do some things that were similar to graphic novels. He did some original comic book stories. Some of the Peanuts comic book stories were actually by Schulz. When they had a comic book magazine in the late 50s, early 60s. And also he did the Happiness is a Warm Puppy books and things like that, which were generally not story oriented, although there are some exceptions, but were whole original books of Peanuts material. So I think graphic novels, Schulz would fit right in with that.
And last question, because we're just about out of time. Do you think the estate will ever loosen its grip on no new Peanuts material?
Well, the rule is no new Peanuts strips. However, that doesn't mean no new animated specials, for example. In fact, they've got a new animated special for next year that is based on the existing body of strips, is using that material. They have all kinds of other things, but the strip is sort of this pure source that they I would be very surprised if they ever let anybody do new strips.
Well, if they do, I certainly hope it's not Frank Miller. Folks, that's a little in comics joke. Folks, you can find this wonderful new book we've been talking about, The Peanuts Collection, Treasures from the World's Most Beautiful Comic Strip, most beloved comic strip by Nat Gertler. It's in great bookstores everywhere, or you can order it online right now at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, and check out Nat's devoted Peanuts website, AAUGH.com, or his blog at hisblog.aug.com. You can figure that out. Nat, thanks so much for joining us at Mr. Media today.
Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure. And folks, for more original interviews with your favorite comic book and comic strip creators, authors, writers, surf over to and artists, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/MRMedia for your free audiobook. Subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com, mrmedia.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman or facebook.com/Andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a little piece of your day and spending with us. Thanks for listening.